Hello and welcome to the Dice Dudes Podcast. Do you like Dungeons and Dragons? And do you have ear units that can receive sound? Good! Then stay a while and enjoy the podcast.
We need to get you some better armor.
You two are talking and there's like awe and shock and celebration in the inn. All hell is breaking loose. And the half-elf that was behind the bar that was being threatened, she walks over. She walks over to you and goes, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like this. This was terrible. You saved my life. You saved my life. How can I ever repay you?
It's fine. Don't worry.
No. Free drinks. And she beckons, she raises her hand and basically three staff members run over with trays of various booze. Inu looks at them and goes, this is my new favorite inn, my friend. This is the place that I wish to retire to. And he laughs. Rubbing his shoulder.
But Inu, there's nowhere for you to fish here.
She goes, oh, excuse me, it's so very rude. My name is Lissett, and I am the owner. And I am the owner and procreator of this establishment.
Procreator?
I don't even know if that's the right word. I'm drunk off almonds. I've eaten too many almonds. I'm the owner and a manager of this establishment. Thank you so much. Anytime you wish to stay in the city, just let me know, and you'll always have a spare. We'll have a room ready for you. Oh, thank you. She can't be happy enough. Basically, you and Ido are just trying to drink your drinks as a bit of time passes and enjoy yourself. But there's commoners and fishermen, and you know, a huge, burly dwarf mercenary who's been in the tavern sitting at a table. He walks over to you. He kind of staggers over, and he goes, "That was incredible." You can clearly handle yourself. I was going to help, but I fear my legs were not working. I've been into the dwarven ale, you know.
Ah, I can smell it. Sit down.
Oh, good. Good.
I'll say to him in dwarven.
It looks like you've got plenty of drinks. Don't let me have too many. I already cannot see out my left eye.
I'm sure they can accommodate.
Idu does the raise one eyebrow thing at him. He goes, we will look after you, my friend. Have a seat. So you're getting congratulations. About sort of 5-6 minutes pass. Not a lot of time. And from bursting through the door are what appear to be, they're kind of roughly dressed sort of mercenaries, but they've got cloaks with like a clasp of Neverwinter attached. They're probably the city guards from what you've seen. Lissett, the half-elf, the runner of the establishment, she walks up to them and She talks to them and blah, 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 blah. She points at you two and, you know, they nod their heads and a couple of them, there's about five of them, a couple of them grab the body and pick it up and, you know, it's they carry it away. One of the guards walks over to you and shakes your hand and says thank you for your assistance, gives you the whole speech. Don't be causing any trouble in Neverwinter while you're here. Just so he's looking at you like he has to say this shit because there's other people in the tavern and you're like, yeah, all right, I've heard this shit before, don't worry about it. Yeah, and basically time goes on into the evening. You can stay and drink or whatever.
Yeah, we'll just stay and drink for now.
Yep. Idu.
Have some food.
Idu's returned to his usual cheerful self. The dwarf gets so hammered that he falls asleep. In the chair. He falls asleep, and instead of, you know how cowboy dudes, when they're like tired, they pull their hat over their face, he's got this helm on and he just pulls it down over his eyes and he's snoozing in the chair. The dude looks at him and goes, these dwarf folk, they snore very loud, my friend.
Very noisy for little people.
Very noisy. I could not even make those noises. And if I don't know if you've seen me, but I'm very big. And he laughs at his own joke. Because you just looked at him like, fuck, what the hell, the guy? So, a couple of hours pass, you guys drink, and they bring you food, and, you know, you don't have to pay for anything. She looks after you. And the table of gentlemen starts to thin out, and at the end, there's one left. The man with the tunic with the Neverwinter symbol on it. He gets up with another bottle of wine and walks towards your table. He gets to your table and bows and introduces himself. He says, "Greetings, sir. My name is Marcus, and I represent Neverwinter. I'm one of the council, on the council of Neverwinter. I report directly to the mayor of Neverwinter. I was wondering if we might have a word."
Motion for him to have a seat.
He says, "Yes, good, good." And then he pulls a chair over, because there's a dwarf asleep in the other only chair at this time. He looks and he says, "Wow, that was a miraculous de-" "Is he with you?"
You'll get used to it.
Inu laughs. And I cough. Fuck. Spiked all the levels. Choking on almonds at your bullshit display. He says, "Now, after witnessing that display, I believe that you and your friend here may be the men I'm looking for."
"Depends on what you want done."
"From what I just witnessed, you have a particular skill set."
"Don't we all?"
"Yes, but there are not many around that I've seen can handle themselves as well as you and your friend here. Would you be perhaps willing to meet maybe tomorrow morning for breakfast, my treat, at my home, and we could discuss things?"
"Food and not in a dark alley? How can I not say no?"
He says, "Yes, very, very good." He hands you a map, conveniently, of Neverwinter.
Excellent.
And he marks his house on it. His house is over here somewhere. I don't want to mess up that pretty map. It's in the Protector's Enclave down the bottom there.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He says, "Graveyard." "Yeah. Oh, well, not that close to the graveyard, because the graveyard's tits. We'll get to that at some stage, maybe." He says, "Yes, come to my home in the morning, and my wife and I will have breakfast ready for you."
"We'll be there."
Edu says, "Oh, yes. Very good. I like a good breakfast. Thank you."
"You better have plenty of breakfast, by the way. Just..."
He laughs.
"Just warning you."
He laughs and he says, "Ha! Yes, I see that you have an enormous friend. You're not bringing the drunk dwarf, are you?"
"We'll see how that pans out later." "He won't be drunk in the morning."
"Or he would still be drunk, my friend." Idu laughs at another one of his own jokes. He goes, "I am getting good at this humour."
You are getting good at something.
So the man bows and disappears. A moment after he's left, you notice he's left a nice bottle of wine with you guys. Not that you haven't got enough fucking booze, but...
Has he opened it?
It's not open, no.
Alright.
No, so you can take that.
We'll take that.
Okay, you can have that.
Do you want this?
You can have that as loot for this encounter.
Right.
That wine is 115 gold per bottle of wine. So that is some expensive ass wine. You can keep that for yourself, or you can sell it off, or whatever. So you are now free to do as you wish. You can continue to eat and drink. You've been there for a few hours now.
I'm going to...
It's heading into the evening now. What you gonna do when they come for you?
I'm going to... make sure the dwarf has a room to sleep in.
Yep, you ask Lissa and she said, "Yes, I'll give him a room. He's a regular here. If no charge tonight."
And then we'll turn in for the night, probably.
No worries.
Oh, actually, I'm going to run down to the dock.
You're going to go down to the dock? Okay.
Get the ship captain to sail back.
Okay.
With news of we have a...
Okay.
We have an established property that we can use to trade with.
Yep.
From. And get him to head back to Arm.
Yep.
And start the trade route happening. That will be Captain Don, I believe.
Captain Don, yes. He says to you, we will set sail at first light. Fantastic news. Fantastic news.
I knew you'd be keen to get out of this hole.
I don't actually mind Neverwinter. It's just the people in it I don't like.
Don't tell me you do that.
I've been spending too much time with you, clearly. Good, good. Well, I'll see you in probably a good month or so, my friend.
He shakes. Very well.
He shakes your hand. You do not, like, you don't do the pussy shake. You do the whole grab full forearm shake, and he nods his head, and yeah,
get Tormund to send some hunting dogs or wolves down too.
Okay, and Tormid is who?
Tormid is one of my dwarven family. He's a beast trainer.
He's a beast trainer, that's right.
Yep, yes. Currently occupies an underground chamber in Arm that we requisitioned from some bandits.
Yes, he used to train horses and, you know, war dogs and all that sort of thing, but since acquiring a cave, he's now also training underground mounts, yep. Which you can only imagine what that will be. Maybe we'll see that at some other stage.
Yeah, I'll get him to send back some war dogs or some hunting wolves.
To
something
guard
that might be of value to the guards.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you're donating to the city, are you?
No, I didn't say I was donating to the city.
I was going to say, what?
To A, guard our property and any excess we might be able to sell off to the local militia.
Maybe Lord Nevermember might be, or the mayor.
Yeah.
Might be interesting. All right. No worries. You make the arrangements for the ship to sail in the morning. And, yeah, you can go back to the...
Yep,
back
go back.
The inn. There's a nice room waiting for both you and Idu. By the time you get back, Idu's already gone up to bed. He's very full of mead and he ate lots of food. He is out of control. So you can rest or anything you want to do. Any powers you want to swap out.
I'm going to rest, and during my extended rest, I will remake some more Ungol dust.
Okay, because you can replace...
With my poisoning kit, I can replace one vial every extended rest.
Yep, does that cost you anything, or is that just a power?
It costs me to buy, obviously, the ingredients and my poisoning kit to start with.
Yep, okay. No worries. Oh, we can have a look at that in the future.
Yeah, so we can look at what the poison cost is in a bit.
No worries. All right, so you do that and you hit the hay?
Yep.
All right.
Hit the sack.
No worries. You have a very restful sleep. You're not at all worried about today's encounter. That's kind of
dead.
Been there, done that. You've seen this sort of shit before. Hell, you're from Arm, which is a city of basically crime.
Yeah.
So you're like, eh. Okay, you wake up in the morning refreshed.
Yeah.
And you can wake up, your nose is assaulted by the smell of beautiful breakfast food.
Damn it!
Too bad you're not having breakfast here.
Well, that's what you think.
Or you're going to have some breakfast here and then go for a second breakfast.
Yeah. Raised by dwarves, mate.
I'm raised by dwarves, mate. I eat like a horse.
Certainly am.
All right.
And run downstairs. All right. He's probably already there.
He is already there. You've got him pegged. Idu's sitting at the table with like a mountain of bacon and eggs.
You know we're going...
Yes, I know we go for breakfast at this Marcus house, my friend, but what if it's bad?
That's a good point. I'm going to sit
there. This here is very good bacon and eggs, my friend. Very good. Have a seat. I save you some. There's one egg and a ration of bacon. He's put on a plate for you. He goes, look at my size to you. You are little. Me big. Me need more fuel. Yes, yes.
I'll let you off this time. You are the one that got the axe.
I feel much better. Thank you. So, you have, like, a light breakfast, air quotes, for those of you who can't see, which is all of you.
Which is everybody.
Everybody. All right. And you enjoy, like, a nice, peaceful breakfast. Lissette, she's there again in the morning. She's the one that's serving you personally, and she thanks you again, and Idu kind of waves it off, and... sort of says to her, you don't need to keep thanking us. It's what any good person would do. And then he says, the god Melora, blah, 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 does his preachy shit, which you're all too used to by now. And breakfast is done and off you go.
We'll head to Marcus's house.
All right. You head through the streets in the... what district is that? That's the...
What? Protector's Enclave.
Yeah, the Protector's Enclave part of the city. There's high walls throughout the city. You're not going far enough to really notice too much. You walk throughout houses and there's little shops. As always, everything's under construction and moving and things being brought in. Wagons being pulled in and out. Loads of stuff. You pass some shops...
there's anything you want to look for, or you just want to go straight to breakfast?
I'm good at this point in time. Let's get some breakfast.
All right. You arrive at a sort of a very strange sort of house, strangely decorated.
Define strangely decorated.
It's about your... It's just a... It's about a two-story house. It's like a very odd colour, very orangey colour. The wood's been stained a very sort of bright orange. It's very, you know, it's not like your average colour.
I'm going to look at Idu and raise one eyebrow.
Has like a bright green door and on all the trellis work at the front where like a sort of makeshift veranda is, there's like leaves painted on them with silver flecks, and it's very artsy-fartsy, this house. Idu looks at you, looks at the house and goes, "Do you think we are in the right place, my friend?"
"I don't think there's another house in the city like this."
"We are in the right place, my friend." He walks up to the door and knocks with a huge fucking giant hand that he has. Clearly, the door isn't big enough, basically. Most doors aren't big enough for this man. He's huge. Yes, the door is answered, and there is Marcus, smiling face, very casual. He says, "Oh, good, good, you came. Please, come in, come in."
I'll wait for Idu to climb through the doorway.
Idu ducks a little bit and walks through. He's already looking around. As soon as the door opened and you could see past, because your perception's hardcore, all around the room are scattered strange bits of art, and it's like the most sort of trippy hipster version of a D&D house you could possibly see. He welcomes you in, and he puts you into like a sitting sort of dining room, which is it's beautifully lavish, a dark wood table with all these fancy designs on it, and there's a weird pot in the corner with flowers in it, but the flowers appear to be changing colour as you're sitting there. You're starting to think to yourself, "Hang on, did I accidentally dip my finger in one of my poisons last night?" Yeah. You're tripping. Am I tripping balls? The fuck is going on here? It's a big boy.
This is a very unusual home you have here, Marcus.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. It's my wife's idea. She's a very artsy type. In fact, she's one of the head artisans in the city, helping on the rebuild.
Okay.
Idu goes, "Oh, it is very strange to me, but very nice. Where is this wife of..." And as Idu is saying, "wife of yours," a woman comes in. She's incredibly, incredibly beautiful. About his age, sort of, you know, 30s, whatever. She walks in, dark brown hair. She's got, like, big hoop earrings. Nice green dress. She walks in with, like, a plate of really fancy-looking breakfast. You're like, you look at it and you're like, "I don't know what this is." Kind of like French toast and eggs that aren't just fried and thrown on a plate. They're like poached, and you can just smell herbs and it smells fucking awesome.
I'm going to get some before Idu eats it all.
She walks in and she gives you a hand like in the fashion, like with her little fingers out that you can kiss her hand. She goes, "Hello, my name's Alyssa. Thank you for coming to our home for breakfast." "Oh, you're already seated." You know, like, Idu's like... Even Idu's like, got the look of... "Duh, fuck!" She says, "Here you go, I'm going to put this on the table for you boys. Enjoy, I'll be in the other room." She puts, like, down the huge tray of food. She says, "Oh, I'll bring you some tea. Do you want sweet tea, peppermint tea? Do you want some herbal tea? I'll just bring you about 3 pots, all right? I'll be right back." And she... And Marcus just goes... She's full of energy. My wife, as you can see.
What have you done?
So many things. So many things, my friends. But anyway, it's a discussion for another time, if you plan to hang around in Neverwinter.
We'll see.
Now, Jesus! A lion enters the room. That's not a lion. It's a laptop doing...
Marcus's doorbell goes off.
That's probably what it would fucking sound like, too. Actually, it'd probably sound like two pixies having a rave.
Oh, Jesus.
So, he says now, heaping up food onto plates for you and Idu. He says, "We have a particular problem in this city, and I don't know if you're aware, that one of the districts, the River District, we have had loads of problems. It is taken... and occupied by orcs. Now, the Lord Nevermember, he wishes to get rid of these orcs, to reclaim this part of the city. To, you know, I'm going to be frank with you here. We've sent mercenaries. We've sent spies. We've sent, he looks around, we've sent assassins. And no one has managed to do the job. You see, for all the orcs we kill, they continue to, there's just more of them.
Well, they do breed.
Not that quickly.
Well, you'd be surprised.
I would be. He has a bit of a laugh. He says, we understand that they're being led by a particular nasty orc war chief who goes by the name of Varsi. She's in command and she occupies a huge tower in the river district. And she sends her forces out from there. Lord Nevermember does not wish to assault directly and cannot afford at this point in time to send a full force into that part of the city. And if we did, there'd be a lot of loss of life and it would be an expensive venture when the city cannot afford it at the moment. So I've been sent to enlist the help of someone a little bit more stealthful, a smaller party, perhaps a mercenary party, a part of the adventurers that can undertake this task.
And what makes you think we'll succeed where your assassins have failed?
I saw your display in the inn.
No more than any other of my skill set?
Well, I've never seen anything like it. So I'm confident that maybe the two of you, looks at Idu, who's got like half an egg hanging out of his mouth. His huge mouth, and bacon at the other side of
his man is not very discreet. He's rather large.
Yes, I see this. But I feel as though a smaller strike force may be a little... prove to be a bit more effective.
You do realise you can't get much of a smaller strike force than one. Unless you get a gnome. That's a joke, Idu.
Idu looks at you, he raises his eyebrow again, like, what the fuck? He says, we do not wish for you to slay all the orcs. That task with just the two of you would be next to impossible. What we do want you to do together is possibly fight your way through to this tower and slay Varsi. Without her, the orcs will have no direction.
And you do understand that without her, somebody else will step up.
We are that.
I've not dealt with orc warbands before, clearly.
we understand that this takes a lot of time. The orcs themselves, their culture, their rights.
You're correct. They will fight among themselves.
They will fight among themselves. But we've also learned that she is part of the Ulfgaard tribe. And she is acting not within the orders of the king. Ulfgaard himself, King Ulfgaard V. He sent her in to cause a little bit of mischief in the city, not to take hold of part of it. So she has defied his order and claimed the city for her own. So if we are to eliminate her, we feel that the orcs will scatter back to the tribe.
I see.
There will be a great sum of money involved in this, and anything you find in the tower, you can claim as your own. The tower is called the Cloak Tower. And the history of this tower was it was once occupied by a house of mages. And then over time, things happened when the chasm erupted from under Neverwinter and consumed, and they all disappeared. The orcs since then have claimed it as their own, and they raid from this location. They don't raid openly into the city, but the River District is pivotal for us to have back to rebuild Neverwinter to its former glory. We want it once again to be the jewel of the North. You'll be paid handsomely, and perhaps I can even talk. I understand that you've opened you're looking to open trade in Neverwinter. You would like to import and export items. Maybe I could
trade any other way.
Maybe I could talk to the mayor, or perhaps Lord Nevermember himself, and see if we could do something to secure your trade route here, and help with your taxes on your annual earnings, if you understand.
think we may have an understanding. Holy man!
And he looks at you and he goes, little man!
What do you think?
I feel that even if there was not any monetary exchange, I feel that this is the right thing to do, my friend. We must help these people. This city has been... You start looking at him like, oh, fuck, here we go. Why don't I just say, Idu, are you in? He goes off on a rant on how Melora rewards the righteous and how this is the right thing to do and the city folk should not live in fear. Okay. And he does this massive spiel and at the end of it...
He slowly eats stuff off of his plate.
He can see you, but he's locked in. The only time he's not shoving his face or tries to slap anyone's hand. He says this massive spiel about saving the city, followed by my friend. You've got a feeling that Marcus has probably nodded off during this. Marcus shakes himself back into consciousness after...
Before he does that, if Marcus has nodded off and he's leaning back in his chair, I'm going to try and slowly put my foot under his chair.
Yeah, try to tip him over.
Kick him back.
No, he's quite conscious. He's just spaced out. He says to you, yes, good. So is this a mission that you accept? Can we rely on you? This will help towards the future of Neverwinter. But once you are beyond the walls into that district, you are on your own. We cannot help you. This will not be an easy task, but if you can...
Very well. So to recap, anything that we find between here and the tower is ours.
Yes, as soon as you enter the tower district, any items that you may find... the river district.
Very well.
That you find, you may keep. Yes.
Excellent.
And, of course, you will be financially rewarded, and we will discuss your trades within the city.
Very well. We will see what we can do.
Excellent. He shakes your hand and says, so we have an accord?
We do.
He shakes your hand, and he shakes Idu's hand. Idu's hand is, like, bigger than most of this guy's body. Not really, but it's fucking huge.
Idu shakes his head.
Idu says, and now that we have forged this new friendship with you, I have but one request. He looks at you and then looks at Marcus and he goes, I wish to know what your wife put on these eggs, because they are fantastic eggs. I have not had eggs like this in quite some time. Not since I was at home, and goes on about a rant with eggs. Okay,
I'm just going to start chuckling.
So you eat your fill, and at this stage, we're going to have a break.
We are.
All right.
Wanted to urinate.
Ooh, urination. Me too.
Thank you for listening to the Dice Dudes podcast. We hope that you found your experience enjoyable, and that your ear units are full of glorious D&D juice. See you next time on the Dice Dudes podcast.